It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, the tree. And that involves sometimes going to the attic for maybe the only time of the year to get your Christmas decorations, hanging lights. And I know at times marriages can be tested because the old debate is whether it should be a real or artificial tree. But there's a word that describes this season between Thanksgiving and then to Christmas. It's called holidays. And it's found in the Urban Dictionary. It says this: the feelings of confusion and excitement people have between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the blur one feels as they shop for gifts at crowded stores with heavy holiday traffic. I don't know if you're in a daze this morning. You may be somewhere along the line. Also this week, I saw something that someone had posted on Instagram about this Instagram about miserable men Instagram page. And it was a picture, they were funny. I was thinking about putting a couple up here, but I decided not to. But all kinds of men going shopping, and you see them sprawled out on couches or chairs in different parts of the mall. And you could just see on their face, they're like, they're in a daze, and they're just thinking, like, how much longer is this going to be as they're patiently or impatiently waiting for the shopping to be done? I don't know what kind of daze you may be in this morning. Maybe it's not shopping that's put you in a daze. Maybe it's something more real. Maybe you're searching for direction of your life. Maybe you're longing for hope. Maybe you're existing rather than just living. Maybe you're surviving rather than thriving. Maybe you're running on empty. Maybe school has not gone as well as you had hoped. We all carry something. Not everyone knows what it is. We carry something. Some distractions, some disappointments, a long to-do list, periods of loneliness, and maybe a loss of a loved one. But today we start a new series called Hope Has a Name. And that name is Jesus. And this birth of Jesus is so vital to our faith. That we desire hope, but there's times where we push hope aside because it seems hopeless. And instead, we can sometimes believe the lie, and it is a lie, that your circumstances are impossible for God or anyone else to handle. And we find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, three people, Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary. And they find themselves in a surprising situation, shocking situation, a confusing situation. And what we discover in Luke 1 is this, that in both situations, they were met with the God of the impossible. A barren woman becomes pregnant in an old age. A virgin becomes pregnant in her young age. And in Luke 1, we are introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah was a priest. That was his job. That's what he did every day. He was responsible for offering sacrifices up to God on behalf of the people. And one of his tasks was to make sure that incense was always burning, that incense was this sign that these prayers were being lifted up to God. And as a priest, you made sure that these incense was always burning as a symbolic way of saying, God, we're lifting up our prayers up to you. And also a priest had other responsibilities to go along with that. But occasionally, not very often, there would be a time where one of the priests had this opportunity to go into a special place in the temple to pray on behalf of all the people. But which priest was going to do that? Well, they would go and have the lot system to find out, cast lots, who would be the one that would go in that day. And on this day, the lot fell on Zechariah. Now, Bible scholars think that this opportunity maybe happens only once or twice in a person's lifetime as a priest. But this time, Zechariah got to go in and do a special prayer, lifting up his prayers to God on behalf of the people. Now, Zechariah had prayed a lot for a lot of people, but Zechariah also had the prayers of his own heart. And we have prayers of our own hearts too, right? I mean, we pray for other people, we pray for other situations, but we also pray about things going on in our own life. And Zechariah had prayed and prayed and prayed that his wife would have a child. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. In Luke 1, verse 11 through 15, we hear this. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born." So here we have an angel who comes and says to Zechariah, "Your prayer has been heard." I thought about this week. Your prayer has been heard. There's nothing better, is there? There's nothing better than to know that your prayer has been heard. I think it gives us an insight into the heart of God, this relational nature of God, that he hears our prayers. And he hears this prayer that his wife is going to have a baby. But listen to his response in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So Gabriel speaks on behalf of God. And Zechariah basically says, "I do not believe your words. How can I be sure of this? How, God, can I be sure of this?" You see, God does not like when we doubt God's message. And God does not like when we doubt him. And so when Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this?" It's a word and a phrase that we need to dig in a little bit deeper. This phrase is riddled with doubt. In other words, it's basically saying, I can never be made to believe that this is true. And at this moment, Zechariah was silenced. He stayed in the temple for a long period of time. I don't know what he said when he was there in the temple when God silenced him. I don't know the dialogue that happened between the two of them. I don't know if he said, "Okay, God, I've learned my lesson. I'm sorry." I don't know if that happened. But for a long time, people were starting to wonder, what happened to Zechariah? He was still in the temple, longer than anyone else had been in the temple. But then Zechariah emerges out of the temple. And here we have a voiceless priest. When they want to ask him questions about what happened, he couldn't say anything. I don't know how Zechariah communicated. It could be the first game of charades, acting out what happened in there. don't even know how he would start. Zachary comes out. He can't say anything. He starts making motions and pointing and saying things. And goes, and they're like, what? What's going on? Pregnant? Yes. Who? And they start, he's looking around. They start pointing to all these different people. And they keep pointing to these different people. And no, no, no. And all at once, he points to his wife, Elizabeth. And he goes, yes, yes. They go, Elizabeth? How can this be? This is the first moment where Elizabeth finds out that she's pregnant. Sometimes it takes a test in our own lives to bring us to trust. And I think that was the story of Zechariah. I think it's a story of my life and maybe the story of yours. That sometimes a test that we go through becomes part of our testimony. And that was Zechariah's testimony. He had unbelief. And yet he was faithful time after time after time as a priest. But at that moment he doubted. I think sometimes these tests help us to become stronger in our faith. Sometimes these curves that get thrown in our lives help us become of our testimony of who God is. Sometimes through these tests, God can strengthen us for a season that's about to come. I think I've shared this story before, but I love this story. It's a story by Max Lucado in his book, Eye of the Storm. It's about Chippy the parakeet. Chippy, parakeet's owner, decided one day it was time to clean the cage. And so she went and she got the vacuum cleaner and took the vacuum cleaner and was getting ready to turn it on. And she turned it on. The phone rang. And when she turned it on, she turned and without looking, she sucked up poor Chippy the parakeet into the vacuum cleaner. She dropped the phone very quickly and she ran over and she opened up the vacuum cleaner. And there, to her delight, Chippy was still alive. He was dusty and dirty and, as you can imagine, a little bit dazed. So she quickly runs to the bathroom and turns on cold water and starts washing Chippy and washes him off. And then she realizes that he's shivering. And she does what anyone would do at this point. She goes and gets a hot air blower, hair dryer, and goes and starts blowing hot air all over Chippy. She blasts him for several minutes. A few days later, the story tells us that a reporter was asking how Chippy the parakeet was doing. Asked, how's Chippy doing these days? She said, well, Chippy doesn't sing as much anymore. She just sits and stares. Who blames her? Blames Chippy. I mean, after all, if you've been sucked in, washed up, and blown over, you wouldn't feel like singing either. And sometimes we can feel like Chippy, can't we? We can feel like that. We can feel like times like we don't feel like singing. God, we're not going to sing to you. Too many things have happened. We feel like we have been silenced. So much so silenced that we can't even pray. See, at those moments, we have two options. We can live with an endless hope that hope has a name or a hopeless end. What is keeping you from singing his praise these days? What is longing in your heart or something that is barricading you from holding out hope this Christmas that Jesus is the hope? Well, sometimes it does take a test to bring us to trust, and we don't like it. But secondly, and the children are going to experience that this season, is usually waiting increases our appreciation. There's nothing like an 8 or 9 year old child who has figured things out, understands the Christmas season, what that looks like. And they know the game. And they are trying to figure out the gift that they're about to get. And they are begging for mom and dad to let them open this present early. But some of life's lessons, the best lessons that we have, are when we teach our children about waiting. Half of wanting is waiting. And it may not be a Christmas gift waiting for that to be opened for you. Maybe it's something where you're frustrated. And you're waiting for God to answer your prayer turns to bitterness. Turning to isolation. Pulling back from the community of faith. But maybe in that waiting, just maybe in that waiting, God is trying to teach you something so profound. In that everyday faithfulness, he helps you during that waiting period when that prayer that was lifted up like incense has not been answered. What I find interesting is this, that Zechariah's answer came in the routine of his job. He spent his whole life raising up incense to God, answering, have prayers answered on behalf of the people. And even though Zechariah's prayer, the prayer of his heart, his heart's desire was not answered, Zechariah kept showing up to work every day. Being there for his wife. Being there and trusting God's plan. Doing everything right, even though his prayer was not answered. I think many times we have a time where we pull back. We feel like God is not showing up. And sometimes we can play a game with God. Well, God, if you don't show up, then I'm not showing up. If you don't show up, then I'm not going to lift up prayers anymore. And every time Zechariah went to say a word, he could not speak. He was silently reminded that he should not doubt God's plan, God's purpose, and God's promise for his life. And then about 6 months later, Elizabeth is visited by her younger cousin. Mary bursts into the room and comes in and says, "Hey, I got news. I'm going to have a baby. And that baby is going to be the Messiah that we're waiting for." Elizabeth goes, "That's awesome. That's great. And you know what happened?" Elizabeth said, "You know what happened when you walked into the room? My baby jumped when you walked into the room." And then Elizabeth says, "And you know what else is amazing? Is Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have this baby. And this baby is going to grow up. And it's going to prepare the way of the Lord. That John is going to go before your child. And that's your son, Mary. Your son is going to be the Messiah." And they celebrated together. It was a wonderful reunion, a wonderful time together as they realized the significance of this moment. Then Elizabeth says, "Oh, by the way, I've got to tell you one other thing. My husband has not been able to talk for months." And he celebrated some more. Just kidding. But there was Zechariah taking care of the temple, his prayer not answered. Sometimes the waiting is part of the answer. That's hard. Sometimes the waiting is part of the answer. Because we, God does not just do us to give us a clean lane to keep going all of our life. Sometimes things happen in our lives where we get more faith, become stronger when things happen. And when Zechariah was there praying for the salvation of the whole world, what's amazing to me is that answer came at the appointed time with the son John. And John was going to come and prepare the way of the Lord and change the entire world. It says in verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord of their God, and he will go on before the Lord in spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what Zechariah realized? You know what we need to realize? God still has more things for us to do. Yeah, the pregnancy came. And this pregnancy and this answer of his prayer became part of God's promise to the whole world. But here's another thing that you have to understand that hit me this week is this. Zechariah was not the answer. That sometimes the most significant things in our lives may not be but what we do. That it's about us. But someone you influenced, or maybe someone you raised. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's someone you've been a parent to. That maybe the most significant thing that God has planned for your life is not what you do, but the influence you have on someone else. And what appeared to be Zechariah's greatest setback could be the beginning of his greatest comeback. Zechariah had disbelief. We have disbelief. See, sometimes we think it's about us. We get this promotion and we say, yeah, I work really hard for that promotion. Sometimes we get a fiance and we said, oh yeah, I knew it was just a matter of time before she'd come. Maybe you buy a house and you say, hey, I saved up a lot of money. Of course I'm going to get this house. But don't forget what the scripture says. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. We need to invite his involvement. And what's amazing to me is when Zechariah was voiceless, God took that son and gave John the Baptist a voice in the wilderness to proclaim the way of the Lord. And then verse 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And then she says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen? He's not done with us yet. Sometimes the best place to be, the hardest place to be, is where God is your only answer. See, hope does have a name. It's Jesus. And he can do the impossible. He can take care of the overlooked. He can be with us in our long waiting. And just maybe some of God's best work in our lives might be in those areas. Not in the mountains, but in our longing and our waiting for him. For nothing is impossible with God.
I invite you to sing number 178, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It is in the waiting that our hearts begin to long in deeper and more meaningful ways for Jesus. Let's sing together verses 1 and 2, number 178. Would you stand, please?
Sisters and brothers, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Because hope has a name, and therefore we can be not holidayed, but rejoicing, we're going to be using for our Advent benediction the third verse of Good Christian Friends Rejoice. It's number 210 in the hymnal, if you would like it from there. Verse 3.